Everyone, my name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every.Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture comes from Amos, the 9th chapter and 11th verse. And it says, "On that day, I will rise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will rise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old." The Storytelling Time podcast this week is a conclusion to the 3rd chapter of the book, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People, entitled Fire. The title of the podcast today is Rebuilding. Before we start our story, I want to say that we're continuing to promote the writing efforts of those accepting the challenge of writing a book by June of this year. On the show today, I'll talk about the 5 of the 10 steps of the internet article, 10 ridiculously simple steps for writing a book. The first of these steps is to establish weekly deadlines. This means that you should start the week fresh, ready to write down new ideas and scenarios concerning what you're writing about. So, if you start writing on Monday, have as a goal a certain number of pages completed by the end of the work week on Friday. Then, over the weekend, you can reward yourself for what you've written and take the time off, or you might want to spend that time to review what you've written during the week. The second step is to get early feedback. Have someone review what you've written by, say, midweek, then make corrections and adjustments to what you've written. Third, have a commitment to send your work to a publisher to complete the book and to share your ideas with the world. Yes, one of the greatest joys of writing is to share your thoughts with others who may have an interest in what you've written. In fact, that should be a major objective of your writing, and that is to allow others to benefit in some way from what you've written. That's the ultimate joy of becoming an author. As the Bible says, it's much better to give than to receive. There is a certain satisfaction that you get from satisfying someone else's needs in some way. So, share your work as much as you can and reap the real benefits of what you've written. The fourth step that I want to mention is so simple, it may be hard to believe. And that is to embrace failure. Embrace failure? You might ask. Well, let me explain. It's okay if your book doesn't turn out the way you would like. Writing your first book is only a process in your being an author. It's like an athlete playing their first game. Sure, they may lose the game, but an athlete knows that there will always be another game to be played. And the idea is to look forward to winning the next game. And eventually, at some point in time, that next game will be won. But you have to keep trying. It's been said, our greatest weakness lies in giving up. And it goes on to say, never give up and be confident in what you do. The scripture puts it this way in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And using the example of the athlete, with more experience, there's a greater likelihood that he or she will win the next game. And you will too. Yes, you're likely to win at whatever you're trying to accomplish if you don't give up and continue to try. This leads to the last step that was presented in this article, and that is to plan to write another book when your first one is completed. Now, this may really be hard to believe, and that is to think about writing another book when you haven't even finished the first one. Now, that seems ridiculous, right? Well, I want you to remember the title of the article, 10 Ridiculously Simple Steps to Use to Make You a Successful Author. So, remember, it's the simple advice that we receive that often is the most beneficial, because we're most likely to implement that advice. So this last recommendation that the article gives is a very simple piece of advice, and that is just decide to write another book. But the key to the last recommendation put forward by this article, as far as it being of benefit to you, is that there is a real opportunity there for you to improve in your writing. But listen to this. You can only improve if you give yourself an opportunity to improve. And that opportunity comes with the writing of another book. When you do complete that second book, chances are that it will be so much better, of higher quality, than the first book you wrote. Just remember, writing is a process that is never really completed, never really finished. You're always looking to improve. Now, we'll get on with our story after a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Earl was reliving the tragedy of the fire at his parents' house, now at his own home, which had gone up in flames. He and his wife, Regina, could only watch the smoke coming out of the side windows as they prayed that the firefighters Regina had called earlier would limit the damage. Thankfully, they had come quickly and had roared into action. They were able to extinguish the flames to save what remained of the structure. It would be several days before Earl and Regina would be able to go back into their heavily charred house to survey the damage. They thought about what it would take to repair their home. Without too much further thought, Earl and Regina decided to do the repairs necessary to rebuild. And rebuild they did. But it would be a while before they could get over the traumatic experience. They soon found an apartment to live in until repairs were completed, which took about 6 months. During this time, Earl reflected on some of the realities in his life brought on by their misfortune. They had prepared for such an adversity by having ample fire insurance to take care of the damages. This helped a great deal in the rebuilding efforts and allowed them to get back into their house in a reasonably short period of time. The insurance company took the responsibility of selecting those who would be in charge of the rebuilding, including the electricians, plumbers, and other contractors. Just as the insurance policy protected Earl and Regina from their physical losses, in our spiritual lives, God promises to protect us and take care of our needs. While we should pray for our desires, we do not have to pray for our needs because God knows what we need before we ask Him. And, in truth, we can utilize our faith to know that He will always do what is best for us. That is to say, to take care of our needs. And as far as our desires, it may mean not getting everything we want, but He will provide the things that we need. Yes, our needs are already taken care of. But the exciting thing is that God will also satisfy our inward desires if those desires are in line with the will that He has for our lives. But you know what? Remember, His will is that we live our lives more abundantly and to have the things that we desire, realizing that we only should want those things that will satisfy Him. But make no mistake, it still comes down to what you desire. After all, that's what it says in Psalm 37 and 4. And it does say simply, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Those, quote-unquote, desires of your heart that this scripture is talking about means those things that you want that reside deep inside of you. That is to say, deep inside of your spirit. Things that you may not have told anyone else about. Yeah, look at it this way. Just think about what you desire the most. Well, you got it if you delight in Him and believe. Earl and Regina had long ago talked about their desires by identifying exactly how they would have their home rebuilt. They had always dreamed of a large area combining their kitchen and living room. Earl and Regina had this desire because the house that was damaged by fire had two separate rooms, a kitchen and a separate living area. After the fire, they saw the opportunity to custom make their house into what they really wanted. So they decided on one large combined living kitchen area, just like what they had talked about. Faith, perseverance, and hard work were the ingredients, not only to Earl's survival of a most traumatic event, but also delivery on a desire that they both had long before the tragic fire. The memories that Earl had of the fire that destroyed his parents' house when he was a child and their family's recovery were an inspiration to he and his wife's deliverance from the near loss of their own house and foresight, not to mention the fact that his life could have easily been lost in that event. Earl especially was able to relate the fire that damaged his home to the historic fire that destroyed much of New Orleans in the distant past. But Earl's thoughts were like this. Now, if this city and its residents recovered from the ruins of that historic fire, then surely me and Regina can recover from what just happened to us. Earl was confident in his thoughts because he knew that while the city had been totally destroyed, it had since risen from the ashes. It was a resurrection of sorts. It showed him that no matter the extent of a catastrophic event, with enough faith and hard work, anyone can recover from the damaging effects of such a calamity. In this case, a similar misfortune on a smaller scale, like when his parents survived the fire that destroyed their house back in Wayward. Yes, while the Creator can work things out for the better in all of our lives, it's our responsibility to make sure that He is working on our behalf. And that was the mindset of Earl and Regina. That is, they believed, as well as implemented that belief by their actions. So, New Orleans was, in fact, able to rebuild after its tragic fire in the 1700s, and today the city remains one of the nation's primary attractions for culture, social, and recreational events. Yes, Earl and Regina had grown to be a part of New Orleans, at least the suburban community of Forsyth, just outside the city. They eventually rebuilt their house to their own specifications. That is, they made it what they had always wanted it to be. Would Earl have willingly selected this path to obtain the desire that ultimately was granted? A path that ultimately led to receiving what they always had desired, which was a combined kitchen and living room area in their new house, something that they had always wanted but could not afford? The answer to these questions is an emphatic no. He wouldn't have wanted to endure a fire that could have completely destroyed their house just to get a desire. But given that it did happen, with faith, they eventually received what they always wanted, although it was the result of an event that they did not expect or desire. Earl's experience, both with his parents' house back in Wayward and his own house in Forsyth being ravaged by fire, shows why patience is so important. With Earl utilizing his faith, the virtual patience allowed he and his wife to overcome their adversity. As the scripture says, if we do not faint in well-doing, especially when adversity comes, and have the patience, we will reap the benefits of utilizing our faith. And more than that, if we overcome our adversities and trust that the Creator will do what's best for us, then we are promised a part of his everlasting kingdom. Eventually, Earl's toe did heal, and his foot cast was removed. He was up and going again as he had been prior to his accident. Once again, he was out and about, riding his bike and enjoying semi-retirement. This time, however, he had reduced the extent of his biking and was even more careful in biking around town safely. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Earl would eventually fully retire from his job at NOU. In retirement, he decided to spend more time with Regina. He also would spend some time with Cindy, at least on occasion, because she was away from home working in another part of the state. Earl also decided to start attending his high school class reunions. Yes, reunions in the plural, because he wanted to make up for the ones that he missed, since he had not been back to visit his classmates since high school. In fact, on his first visit back, he met his old science teacher, Mr. Toddler. They had not seen each other since graduation. In an opening reception that Earl had planned to attend for weeks, he met Mr. Toddler, as well as other classmates he had not seen since graduation. He and his former science teacher embraced and immediately began talking about old times. Mr. Toddler especially focused on how good a student Earl was in geography and asked, "How did you like teaching science during your career?" Earl was taken aback and was reluctant to tell him that he had chosen a foreign language as a career and had taught Spanish at NOU until his retirement. But he ended up answering his former teacher, "Mr. Toddler, I taught Spanish." "Oh my, you did not pursue science in college?" Mr. Toddler asked in bewilderment. Earl saw that Mr. Toddler was somewhat disappointed at his career decision. Then he replied, "No, Mr. Toddler, as I said, I taught Spanish. When I graduated, I went straight into the military. Then I learned the language while there and liked it so much that I decided to make a career of it. Not only that, Mr. Toddler, but I received advanced careers in Spanish and taught it at a smaller college in New Orleans for 30 years. After receiving that information from his former prized student, Mr. Toddler seemed almost depressed. To make the situation less somber, Earl tried to uplift his former science teacher's spirit with his story about the solar eclipse he experienced in Oregon, making Mr. Toddler aware that he still appreciated what he had taught him back in high school. Earl remembered that Mr. Totler was the most excited when discussing the eclipse in his geography class. When he heard Earl say that he not only experienced a total eclipse, but he also had taken notes on the event when it occurred, Mr. Totler seemed to be re-energized. Mr. Totler's response was, "Oh, Earl, you have to let me see those notes." "Of course, Mr. Totler. I'll be happy to get them for you," Earl replied. Mr. Totler had been so intrigued about this solar event during his days as a high school geography teacher, but never got to experience it firsthand, like Earl did. To hear his former student describe its actual occurrence meant so much to him. And to get the experience as Earl wrote about it, as it was actually happening? Goody, goody, Mr. Totler thought. They ended up talking about it for a long time later in the reunion festivities. Let's take another break, and we'll return to end the story and close the show. Welcome back. Earl's feelings about experiencing the solar eclipse was that it reflected the miracle of the universe. He thought that the order and precision of this event was clearly seen as the Earth, the Moon, and the Sun, as well as the stars, worked together in perfect harmony to display and manifest their brilliance to all humankind. That was what the eclipse provided to him. What Earl experienced in the solar eclipse is like what we see in the seasons that come and go every year. Each season of the year provides its own uniqueness that allows us to experience something new in the weather after a few months. The heat of the summer and the coldness of winter are locked in between a moderate transition period of fall and spring for many locations on the Earth. It's a transition that gives us a newness in life at those times of year, something that more extreme environments like tropical and polar areas do not allow. It's usually always warm or always cold at these locations. Well, Earl understood these changes in weather patterns at different times of year, as well as at different locations, because he remembered Mr. Totler being very thorough in his teaching on the subject. But Earl also learned the cultural identifications of the seasons, such as with holidays and the prevailing sporting events that occur at various times during the year, as well as institutional occurrences like school openings and closing that make certain times of year unique. Yes, the newness in life provides a certain degree of joy associated with something new in our lives. That's certainly the case with seasonal change, whether it's institutional, cultural, or being identified by the weather. Just as we look forward to a new season, the scripture admonishes us to always look toward the future because it's in the future where newness of life takes place and the ultimate joy that it brings. That is to say, something new often reflects our inward desires, what the scripture calls unspeakable joy that will come to those who overcome life's issues when everything will become new, as the book of Revelation puts it. That's why we can say with confidence that whether things are good or bad in our lives, there's always more good things coming our way. Good things, joyful things that the scripture talks about as not even having entered into the minds of people. Yes, Earl realized the spiritual aspect of the eclipse phenomena that he experienced back in Oregon. The reality of the natural universe met his own reality of a humanly induced calamity that occurred twice in his life by fire when he was a child and wayward, then years later as an adult and foresight. Earl was delivered from the fire in both situations. As our foundation scripture states, as it was in the days of old, when the tabernacle of David had fallen, God promised to raise it back up and totally rebuild it. With Earl, he felt that God was right on time to save him from the major fires that occurred twice in his life, where in both instances, he was saved as his life was spared. Yes, when Earl was a kid, his father had guided him and his mother to safety from their burning house in Wayward. Then, as an adult in foresight, his wife Regina did the same in their own house when it went up in flames. With the fire and foresight, both Earl and his wife eventually ended up with just the kind of house that they always wanted, and their life was restored just like the city of New Orleans was rebuilt after its fire centuries ago. Earl came to understand that if we are faithful, God always provides the help in our time of need and beyond our needs, which he promises to us on a daily basis. He also satisfies our desires. The eclipse certainly fulfilled that once-in-a-lifetime desire that Earl wanted to experience. Whether we have a need or a desire, it's been promised that we will receive it if we don't grow weary and give up. In chapter 3 of the book, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People, the story about the eclipse was just one experience that Earl had later in his life. The main theme of the chapter would be the fire that occurred in his own house in Forsyth, Louisiana. But just as in David's case in the days of old, Earl's house was rebuilt, and he and his wife Regina's days had become as new, and joy again filled their being. As we come toward the end of the show today, I'd like to encourage you to begin writing your book if you haven't already started. And for those of you who are in the process of writing, I want to stress the importance of continuing. I say that because there will be all kinds of obstacles that will try to hinder you. But if you stay with it, you will succeed. Remember, you have until June to meet the challenge that's before us. And I use the word us because I've included myself in the challenge. So the next 4 months or so, we all will be going down the home stretch, you might say. I'd like to end things today with some encouragement coming from someone other than myself. Recently, I interviewed a successful writer. And at this time, I want to share a portion of that interview where the author and public speaker, Ms. Carmela Head, talks about the importance of sticking with your plan in writing. I think it could be very encouraging and inspirational for all of us as we continue on this journey of writing a book. Take a listen. Could you give our listening audience some pointers or some things that would be useful to them in their writing efforts based on what you've done mm-hmm. in writing your material?
Okay. Yes. If you're starting to write, I would say this one key thing is to start where you are. And all you need is just the time, a pen, pencil, and a notebook. And, you know, when you're being inspired to write something, whatever that may be, it doesn't have to necessarily jive at that moment or have grammatical expertise. I believe it's all about what's flowing. And so I always tell people, because I've had people ask, well, how did you get into writing and how did you, you know, author your book and those type of things? And how can I move forward with writing and becoming an author? And I always say start where you are and always keep a notebook handy And, you know, whenever you feel inspired to write something, don't worry about what it looks like. Don't worry about what it sounds like. Just begin writing and start documenting these different things. And I encourage people to keep a notebook by their bedside or to keep it handy with them in their briefcase. Or if you're sitting at your desk, keep it by your desk, you know. And you may have that inspirational moment, which I call transformational moments, where you, you know, feel like you have the, you know, the time to start writing. And write. Just continue to write and compile those writings. And I remember having different compilations of different writings in different places. And then I think later you can start a plan on piecing those things together, maybe coming up with, I always say that your topic is really what you're inspired by, you know. Right. And so whatever that inspiration may be, then you can start moving into, well, what is this that I'm writing about? And then I believe those things will follow your title or your chapter titles or whatever it may look like. How, whatever you're writing, I think the pieces will start to come together as you just start where you are, and then you can move forward.
So there you have it. Hope you got a lot from that. And by the way, you'll be able to listen to the full interview on this podcast. Just stay tuned for that. Well, so much for now. And remember, whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.